sweat technique.
You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Justin Verlander looks like he's going to come back here pretty soon. He's got a bullpen. If he comes through that, all right. Looks like he's going to start on Friday against Washington on the road. So good. The Astros pitching staff becoming whole again. That's fantastic. That's great. That's really good news. The question now becomes, well, who leaves the rotation when Verlander comes back? And, you know, Fromber is going to come back sooner rather than later, it seems like, too.
So we're told.
So who leaves the rotation when Verlander comes back on Friday?
Right now, to me, it's J.P. France. But Hunter Brown, you're on watch. You've got to start here before we get to what the decision that has to be made. And it can't be anything close to what debacle we saw that with the 11 hits and the 9 runs and everything that you gave up without getting through the first inning. Like, it's one thing to say guys have a bad outing. That was a freaking awful outing that you can't afford to see again. You have better stuff. There's way more expected of you than J.P. France. So I would say that J.P. France is the first to go. But Hunter Brown, that can change. So if you throw up all over yourself again, you know, short dose, big arm, small usage in the bullpen, you could be there too.
What about Aaron Getty?
Oh, I'm not even considering him. I think that he's just going to get one more spot start and he's done.
So you're going back down to a 5 then?
Yep.
When Verlander comes back?
I don't think Justin, I mean, honestly, that's because I think Justin's going to want to still stick with a 5.
They have the schedule makes more sense for 5 as well, because you have some off days coming up.
Yep.
It doesn't really seem like you would go 6-man with this with the schedule coming up. 18th, 22nd, 26th, 29th are all days off. So if Verlander comes back Friday, then there's 3 days off in the first, 10 days that he's back. So you're not making Verlander wait 7 days before he pitches. I don't think it'd be bad for Verlander not to pitch every fifth day, though, like especially coming off injury early. So we're disqualifying Aaron Getty, which is fine. I think Aaron Getty makes the start today, and then they make the move that he'll be sent back down afterwards, even if he pitches well. I'm with you that it comes down to how they pitch in this turn, because you play Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday against a very good team, the Atlanta Braves, best offense in baseball. Hunter Brown pitches on Tuesday. J.P. France pitches on Wednesday. Then you have the off day. Then Verlander makes that start on Friday. So if he's replacing one of them, now I think whoever doesn't have the fifth job, I think just moves to the bullpen.
Right.
I think he becomes a reliever.
Correct.
I don't think he gets sent down. I think he would be a reliever. But maybe not. Maybe they want to keep him extended, depending on how the rest of the bullpen looks like. But I would imagine they make whoever doesn't get the job a reliever. To me, it comes down to how they look in this next start. I'm with you. Like, which one looks better, Hunter Brown or J.P. France, Tuesday, Wednesday? If Hunter Brown's better than France, well, I'm giving Hunter Brown the next start over J.P. France. If J.P. France looks better than Brown, well, then give me J.P. France. If they both look bad, probably lean J.P. France a little bit, because I think Hunter Brown's stuff might play better as a reliever than J.P. France's. So to me, this is a trial. Like, this is an audition. Whoever pitches better gets another turn through the rotation. And whenever Fromber comes back, it might be both of them.
Isn't that a bit the state of the Astros, where we've gotten to, is the fact that we might be more comfortable with Hunter Brown because his stuff is more right now conducive to small doses, based on the kind of stuff that he had when he came up and the unbelievable combo of the fastball slider. And now all of a sudden we're talking about a guy that we might be more comfortable with J.P. France in the rotation than him.
I mean, for me, it's more because Hunter Brown has electric stuff.
He does, but I also think he's got to figure out how to pitch, because, I mean, it's different if you're on a team that's like a small market, middle-of-the-road team, where you've got plenty of room to move and wiggle room for figuring stuff out. This team not only started slow, but there's so many expectations. You can't afford to have him figure it out on the fly in the rotation.
I think that's where you put starters who don't figure it out, though. Like, they turn into relievers. It's like guys who have, like, you're bringing them up. They're, you know, they have multi-pitch mix. They look like starters, but they can never learn how to pitch. Where do you put those guys? You put them in the bullpen.
Short-term, that's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
For the rest of this year, and then you bring him back as a starter?
Well, it depends on your roster.
Yeah.
It depends on your roster. Like, you also have two more starters, actually three. Actually, four that are still coming back. Fromber, Urquidy, then Garcia and McCullers.
Yep.
So, like, would it be better for this year if Hunter Brown became a one-inning guy? You can make the case that it could,
yeah,
and that he hasn't been good as a starter to earn the job. Like, Ronel Blanco really wasn't in the mix here.
He was going to be that guy. He was going to be the guy that would be good for an inning.
when we were talking early in the year, okay, Blanco maybe gives you a start or two at the start of the year until everybody's healthy, until Verlander's back, and then he turns into that middle reliever and makes the bullpen deeper. How are you taking Ronel Blanco out of the starting rotation? You can't.
You are not doing it. Nope.
You can't take him out of the starting lineup.
And the fact is,
rotation.
I think Urquidy's a guy, too, that could be on the outside looking in, but he definitely improves your bullpen and your middle relief in a guy that can get an inning's worth of work in. Maybe he ramps up the fastball a little bit more because he can empty the tank a little bit more. He's got decent enough stuff that he can be effective. We saw it at the end of last season. But the guys that are sitting there in the waiting, assuming, and it's a big if, but if they are healthy, are better than those guys, but you can't take Blanco out of this rotation with what he's done so far until he starts hiccuping all over himself, too. There's a guy that has to stay in the rotation for what he's already done.
Yeah. So you're looking at Verlander's going to be the first one back on Friday, assuming all goes well in the bullpen and nothing gives you the sense that it won't. Mm-hmm. Javier's pitching really well. You're not taking him out. You're not taking out Ronel Blanco. He's pitching really well. Fromber's going to come back at some point. Like, I think it's time to, you know, think about Hunter Brown in the bullpen. Now, I don't think it has to be long-term. Like, hopefully he could be somebody who's really good at the bullpen, and then you're kicking around the idea again in the offseason. But I think his stuff this year is probably best suited in the pen.
Well, I think the other thing is we've seen so far that there's not going to be a propensity to go out and spend more money, and they're going to let things play out. And if you're going to try and keep this in-house, you've got guys capable of kind of sucking up those fifth, sixth inning spots with former starters for a year, because your priority is just for this year, that are going to get more guys out than a lot of guys you have out there right now. You know you're fine in the back end, but you know if you could throw an Urquidy out there and a Hunter Brown or a JP France, and you know you're getting above average starting pitching back as well too, the whole team's better, and your only objective is to win this year.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going with a 5-man rotation right now, we're not talking about Fromber coming back yet. Javier Blanco have been your top two pitchers. They should not leave the rotation. Not that Javier was ever in question. Justin Verlander's coming back for the Houston Astros, so he's going to be getting starts. You're not toying around with the idea of him being in the bullpen at all. You're probably going to have to keep France and Brown there until Fromber comes back.
Yeah, and Urquidy, right?
He's down the road. Like, yeah. I think he'll be back after Fromber, at least what we're hearing.
Right. I think Fromber's the next back, then Urquidy, then McCullers and Garcia?
I think it's going to be Garcia. Ugh. I think Garcia is going to be McCullers back.
I just don't think they're going to rush McCullers back. I think he could be.
I don't think they'll rush either one back. Sooner.
No, but I obviously have more concerns about McCullers because of the history. But, yeah, I just think when you are getting the caliber of those guys back, it's a good problem to have because the main focus is just this season. Win it all again, compete for a World Series, get as far as you can go. You know, the biggest area that you have to be addressed, if you know you're getting starters to handle what's being the biggest problem, is the bullpen. If you can get a couple arms in the bullpen that strengthen the middle of your bullpen, then you're in a really good spot.
6502 says, how long of a leash do you give Blanco in terms of, if he has a bad start or two?
Everybody's going to have a bad start. Verlander, since he's been an Astro, has a couple during the year where you go, oof, there was a couple ugly ones. I think he's got to really, go off. He has to have, two or three, and they have to be consecutive. Because I think that, you know, he pitched a lot of pitches early in the season, which a lot of teams wouldn't even be willing to consider. But because of his age and because, you know, you got a different manager, he got the no-hitter. He's already been pitching deeper into games. But to put those three back-to-back-to-back, I think he's got to have three that are really awful before you yank him.
Yeah, I'm not – to me, it's a pretty long leash. Like, it's going to be multiple starts.
And you don't – to me, I don't expect him to have three of that – of the caliber of some of the ones we've seen already this year. So, I'm not too worried about it.
713-780-ESPN. Astros lineup is out today, by the way. Little different look to the Astros lineup. Jose Altuve leads off at second. Yordan batting second, DHing. That's great to see. Ooh. Kyle Tucker bats third, plays right. Alex Bregman is back. He's no longer sick. He's at third base cleaning it up. Yiner Diaz catches, bats fifth. Chaz in the sixth spot in left field. Jeremy Pena plays short, bats seventh. Jose Abreu in the eighth spot again, batting eighth. Not great that are playing first. Not great that...
Who's ninth?
I'd rather see Singleton there. And then Mauricio Dubon in center field batting ninth. So that's your Astros starting nine today.
I don't mind it.
Atlanta starting a guy by the name of Vines. Darius Vines. He's a righty. I'd rather see Singleton than Jose Abreu in the lineup. Vines will be making his season debut,
by the
way. I don't
trust either one of them. I'd rather you know
Singleton's numbers are better.
They are. See if Singleton, that's not saying much.
I want to see if Singleton's better than Abreu. Like, give him a little bit of run of play. But maybe Bagwell fixed Jose Abreu after their batting practice session earlier today. All right, 713-780-ESPN. HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. D'Amico Ryan's talked today for the first time in a while. What's he saying about Diggs? First public comments about Diggs from D'Amico Ryan's. And what is C.J. Stroud talking about when it comes to this receiver room? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Right now, I'll tell you about the good people at Allstate Siding and Windows. Look, we know that the dog days of summer are right around the corner. The best way you can save energy, keep the cool air in, keep the heat out, is Allstate Siding and Windows. You can do one or both in a combination, but the fact of the matter is Allstate is the best in the business. Siding and Windows, they've been doing it for almost 50 years. Mary and her family do a phenomenal job, and they're going to take care of you. It costs nothing to call them and see what they can do. They come to you. They tell you how the windows can keep that insulation and that hard shell around your house just like siding can. They tell you what you need for your house and which would be the best fit. And they know all the products, and they have the best service in the business. They're always going to be looking out for you. They do the same with the way that they offer discounts, and they take care of you with financing because they've been in Houston. They've been big supporters of ours and big supporters of the Houston sports community. But more so than anything else, they're the best in the business when it comes down to doing siding and windows, and they want to do it for you. They did it for me, and they put new windows in my house. Look, the fact of the matter is you could save up to 40% on your energy bills, and immediately the curb appeal and the overall look of your house is upgraded with the beauty of these new windows. But then when you start thinking about the fact that even in hurricane season, they are durable, they are tough, they are strong, they are not going to give way, they are going to take care of you. That's why you consider them even more. Allstate Siding and Windows are going to take care of you. 30% off all windows right now, $2,500 off on a complete siding job. Call for a free home estimate today. 832-204-1936, 832-204-1936, or look them up online. It's AllstateWindowsAndSiding.com.
Now back to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Full disclosure, I have some chicken left in my mouth. Jose Altuve bought me lunch.
Oh, with the foul
ball? He bought
ball?
Me lunch. I got some Chick-fil-A. Because Jose Altuve hit the foul ball. So I got some Chick-fil-A.
Can you still today. Call it lunch when it's 5:21?
No, you can't. But I'm eating it late. I bought it in the lunch hours. But I'm eating it now. What great marketing, though, by Chick-fil-A. Like, they give somebody some cheap chicken that probably cost them, what, $1.50? Like, you get either a chicken sandwich, you get like 8 nuggets, or you get to pick whatever you want. Uh-huh. What do you think it really costs them?
Big volume. Count nugget? Yeah, I think $2.
I think a couple bucks.
$2?
Yeah, it's obviously real chicken, so it has to be a buck. It has to cost you a couple bucks.
So $2. They get everybody to go through the drive-thru today in Houston because out 2 days.
And then they
the
buy a drink.
People probably buy a drink. I bought an additional salad. Mm-hmm. I wasn't going to go to Chick-fil-A today, but they drew me in with the 8-piece nugget. I bought a salad for $10. Like, they're winning in this whole deal. Plus, they get people like us talking about Chick-fil-A.
Yep.
What great marketing.
I heard Joe and Paul talking about it because Joe was saying he was trying to get our station on the list for the Notorious Black Card.
I heard they got rid of that.
They did.
I was so jealous.
I think you might have told me
yeah,
that.
Yeah, so actually. Lisa, at Channel 2, they used to give a lot of the people at Channel 2 the cards.
Yeah.
The
same
card.
Thing when I was at the Highway of Hell. A ton of people got it there.
And then they changed
jealous.
Course about 2-3 years ago and instead gave you a stack of cards for breakfast or either a chicken sandwich or the 8 nuggets. That's it. That's what you were limited to.
Oh, okay.
So you either got a breakfast sandwich.
Like an entree.
Yeah, there was a couple options for a breakfast sandwich or breakfast platter. And then the other ones were for either nuggets or a sandwich.
If I had a black card, I would eat Chick-fil-A for lunch almost every day.
Oh, I almost already did for a couple of years where I was eating there 5-6 times a week.
Yeah. How many points did you get up to? Did you have
Oh, I was getting a insane amount of points, yeah. I did it for a long time.
My Panda points got stolen. They didn't steal them, did they?
No, they didn't steal it. Actually, I was going there so much, the local workers tried to get me a black card, but they didn't
succeed. Oh,
really? Succeed. Yeah.
Oh, that would have been awesome.
Yeah, they tried. Really cool. They tried. They asked, but it didn't happen.
What would if we had the equivalent to that, like with our show, what would it be? Like, it would be great to have a sponsor. Hey, whenever this happens, we're going to give you a free entree or a free whatever. Because, like, again, Chick-fil-A does it whenever the foul pole gets hit by a Houston Astro for a home run.
It can't be something that happens a ton then. It has to be
special. But also, we can't generate it because then we can pick and we can, like, if it was a dad joke from me, I could say dad jokes whenever I want.
That happens
and I know you
much.
Guys think it happens way too much.
I was going to say when Jeremy says go Cougs, but again, happens way too much.
It happens way too much, too. Like a Rockets reference couldn't do that. A Cougars reference couldn't do that. Because that happens more often than an Astro hits the foul pole. So it has to be something that's kind of rare. And you're probably right. Like, we couldn't have control of it.
Yeah, we can't
like,
have control.
Like, Altuve kind of has control, but he doesn't because somebody's trying to get him out. So there's like defense to that. Like, what would we'd have to be like a caller, I bet. Or a text.
But then the caller could control it.
It'd have to be an Easter egg.
We'd have to change it. It was almost like there's a secret word, and no one can know the word.
Look what's happening now on Bravo. After these reality shows, whenever they have it, and they have a word of the day that whenever the word gets mentioned, and they don't tell the guest.
Drink.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
Drink.
So you know what I'm talking about. It's, yeah, there you go.
Watch
to be,
the Andy, to be Cohen, like the Andy Cohen show, right?
And they put the graphic of what the word is, but the guests have no idea what the word is.
But there's no way we can do
that.
Sounds
like they're still in Pee Wee Herman's bit.
Because we're supposed to be able to tell people what the word is, but if they know what the word is, then they're going to mention the word, so we can't let them know the word.
No, it'd have to be secret for sure.
3338 says, one of y'all has a good take.
I was going to say, when one of us admits that we're wrong on a take.
No, I admit I'm wrong all the time.
I've been doing it more.
I concede L's all the time.
When Jeremy accepts a compliment. Making it a big deal.
Yeah.
Who won our Masters tournament, by the way?
Jeremy won it.
I won?
Come on, you knew
I
that already.
I won our tournament? Yeah, I won it 20
actually,
under.
I actually had the... Yeah, I
was 20
say,
under.
I have the
important thing is
you
lost.
I know who won, and I know what the scores were. I just wanted to hear y'all say
it. Yeah, Jeremy, you were 20 under. Joel was at 5 under, and I was plus 5.
Firehouse sub if the fire alarm goes off during a show. That's not a good call.
That is a good call.
That's
that happens
a really
more
good
than
call.
You would think.
Is it a firehouse?
A firehouse sub if the fire alarm at our station goes off during the show.
That's a great call.
That is one
that we know does happen.
It does happen.
We do not control it.
No.
Now we have. Now when we get the warning that we're doing a fire drill that day, that doesn't count.
Well, the listener doesn't know.
That's true.
The listener doesn't.
That's
know.
A good idea.
Or maybe when we complain that the heat or the cold has gotten too much in the studio. I don't know. Maybe.
No, because
we
control
can control
it.
That's a good call. I like this one a lot.
I think that's very accurate.
Now, let's get the suits upstairs to get off their butts and go do some selling. Let's have it. Let's make it happen. Firehouse sub if the fire alarm goes off during a show. This is brilliant. What a brilliant idea. This is exactly what I was looking for.
Yeah. And in the meantime, maybe we can get a firehouse card.
Get the Italian from I had an Italian from Firehouse the other day. It was good.
Yeah.
It was very good. I'm not sure which Italian I like more, Firehouse or the Potbelly. I've usually been a Potbelly guy.
Firehouse, more of a Jimmy John's guy.
Firehouse has talked me
into... wouldn't kick any of them out of bed, but
no, but Jimmy John's is good.
Firehouse was fantastic.
Yeah, I think I'd lean Potbelly, but they're all good.
This guy's trolling me. 3300 free chicken when the Longhorns score 8 runs in the top of the 9th inning. Hook 'em. Too soon. 3300.
Well, that was when they had the back to back ding dongs.
Yesterday, Houston was up 3 runs going into the top of the 9th. Rubber game of the series. Houston with a chance. They get the first guy out, and then Texas scored 8 runs in the top of the 9th inning. Yeah, thank you. Appreciate that. Thanks for delete your account too while you're at it.
Welcome.
This guy says, come to Black Walnut Memorial. I'll take care of you. Mike from Lake City. I love Black Walnut.
Black Walnut's very, very
their
good.
Their breakfast, the big breakfast, ooh, you get the pancake that takes up a full plate, by the way.
Love
and
those.
Then you get a secondary plate that has the eggs, your choice of meat, the bacon or the sausage, and toast. Has toast.
Yep.
And then their lunch, Black Walnut salad, is fantastic.
Yeah, I'm a big fan.
Yeah, that place is good.
Yeah, if they're going to give us a free meal, I'm in.
Yeah, Mike from Lake City, you shouldn't have mentioned that. We're going to be there all the time. All right, 713-780-ESPN. And D'Amico Ryans was, he talked today. D'Amico Ryans talked to the media today. These were the first public comments, by the way, from any executive. Kyle McNair, Hannah McNair did have some comments.
They did.
About Stephon Diggs. Here was D'Amico's first public comments on the new Texans wide receiver.
Adding him is one of those guys I talked about. He's been a great player in this league for a long time, well respected. He's been a great teammate. He's been a leader, a captain. And, you know, when you look at him and you watch the tape and you put it on, you know, no one doubts the playmaker that he is, right? He changes games for the teams that he's been a part of, and we're anticipating the same thing for us.
There you go. What do you think of D'Amico thinking on Stephon Diggs?
I like it because I think that's the commander in chief. If he's good with it and he's comfortable with it and he feels like he's going to be that kind of guy that's going to be a difference maker for your squad, then I have no reason not to believe my head coach and his ability to influence and guide a guy like Diggs. I'm good.
Yeah, I mean, good. I mean, this is what they're going to say, though. It's sure. Coach speak. Like, well, you're not going to bring in a guy. I didn't like the trade. I'm worried about his previous transgressions in Buffalo and Minnesota. So, I mean, status quo of what DeMeco is going to say. Our friend, DJ Bieniemy, comes on the station all the time, on our show all the time. He pressed DeMeco Ryans about Diggs' lack of production late in the year. He's like, hey, you know, Diggs wasn't great in the final couple of months of the season. What do you think about that? Here is DeMeco's response.
Again, when we watch the tape on Stephon and the playmaker that he is, right, we always go back to the tape and we look at a player in totality. We don't look at, you know, this amount of weeks or that, those weeks. We look at the entire season. We look at the guy's entire career and what he's done, how he's been productive. The guy's been an all-pro player. He's been a Pro Bowl player, over 1,000 yards for multiple seasons. So we're excited about adding Diggs to our team.
All right, what's he really saying? What's he really saying?
He kind of just said back of the football card.
He did.
He said back of the football card.
That's why they gave Mixon the extension.
No, he didn't say back of the football card. He didn't. He said front of the film.
He talked about, looked at their entire career, and he talked about like how many thousand yard seasons he had.
Whatever.
That's looking at the back of the football card.
I don't like that.
I don't either.
I was half kidding, but I think that's why Mixon got an extension then. Because if you see a resume of a guy that was really, really good for several years with Cincinnati, boom, let's just not only get him, extend him.
Jeff Bagwell making the offseason moves of the Houston Texans?
713.
That's a take of substance, I think. 713-780-3776. Yeah, I mean, Diggs back a baseball card, Joe Mixon back a baseball card. That's what we're going to have to start to do with these cuts because it always gives you a coach speak. Here was Stroud on what Diggs adds.
He adds a ton of value, you know, to that room. There's a lot of a wisdom that he carries that I think he'll spread to the other guys. And, you know, he's been really reaching out to really everybody, you know. And I think that whole room in general is going to be great. I think we're all going to eat off each other, you know. It's going to be very fun and very exciting, you know, just to work with everybody in that room. And I'm very excited for it.
All right, what's he really saying?
That he likes the fact that he's got another weapon that he's going to utilize and that that he's got a whole lot of weapons to work with this year. And he's also coach speaking the hell out of it right now because so far he's had a great relationship with a guy that hasn't yelled at him yet. So they had a good interaction at the Pro Bowl.
I don't like that you said
yet. Well, I mean, look at the history of his career. You don't think that he hides his emotions. Diggs is a guy that airs it out. And he aired it out way too much with Josh Allen. But he aired it out in Minnesota, too. So, you know, as long as CJ doesn't change his tune and Diggs is still capable of putting up numbers, then it's going to be, you know, a marriage made in heaven. And if there's bumps in the road, you got to kind of maneuver.
Yeah. I think I undersold how important Pro Bowls are. It doesn't matter in terms of the individual accolade, but in terms of networking, that's all that matters is that the networking that you can do while you're there.
It's coach speak 101, and it's an ability to get you more money.
Here's one more from Stroud. He was talking about another Texan receiver that he thinks is going to have a good year.
Man, he has a ton of value, a huge impact. I think that he'll bring this season. I think last year was good to get his feet back in the water, you know, coming off of an injury, then something so traumatic, like being sick, how he was. And man, his mindset is just, you know, he's ready to come back and ball. So not only is he a great football player, but he's a great person. And I wouldn't want to be anywhere else with anybody else other than those guys in that room. So Mitch is looking amazing. Everything that he'll put on this field will be no surprise. But, you know, I think everybody in his room knows how special he can be, and he'll put that on the field.
We're about to do a name that Texan.
I thought we were going to do that. Who do you think he's talking about?
He ruined it at the end, although I think he gave it away.
I mean, he said six, yeah, so he kind of gave it away.
It could have been Dylan Horton.
Yeah, I was just going to say that, yep.
He wasn't a receiver, though.
No. Nope.
That was probably insensitive of me. My bad. No, I apologize to absolutely no one.
There's only two
one.
Players that were dealing with more of the medical, the health than the medical.
What do you think is a realistic year for Mechie?
We talked about it when he was not his old self, and it was like, I hope this offseason he gets back. Now that he's gotten back to John Mechie, the human being with his clean bill of health, let's see if he can get back to John Mechie, the football player at Alabama, because he was a little thicker. He wasn't the same kind of route runner and football player that he was at Alabama this year when we saw him on the field. And if he's in a state of mind and his health is at a point where he can get back to the speed, the quickness, the slim, you know, the slim, speedy wide receiver that can be a very effective weapon, which is why they drafted him when they did and where they did, then I think that that's encouraging. If you hear CJ saying that already, of all the comments we've heard, that's the one that catches my attention as maybe Metchie can be a factor this year to some degree.
I mean, he's what's good about it is he's a developmental receiver basically because of where he's at on the depth chart. Because you've added Diggs, because you've added Tank, you actually brought back Noah Brown. Robert Woods is still on this team. Like, Mechie's sixth on this depth chart. Mm-hmm. So you're not counting on him, but there's also a runway there to pass some guys. Like, he can pass Robert Woods if he's playing well, mm-hmm. if Robert Woods is still around. He can pass Noah Brown when Noah Brown gets hurt because it's inevitable. So, like, you're not counting on him, but there is room for him to climb up the depth chart.
Yeah, we don't know what it is, but he's got there's a ceiling. But there's a lot of room for him to go up that could be very encouraging for all Texans fans and for CJ.
Yeah, still an exciting prospect. I mean, he didn't have a great year last year, but there was some other situations, mm-hmm. as we know, that Stroud talked about that influenced that. Maybe he can be back to being that guy who was a second-round pick. All right, Willibits. You never know what you're going to get with the Willibits other than that it's great. Willibits up next. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Something else that's great, we talked about this a little bit earlier. Sinlon. Sinlon's great. We hate mowing our yards, so get Sinlon in your life, and you don't have to worry about mowing your yards. It's interesting because today it's kind of like wet outside. Some of you are debating, should I mow? It's kind of wet. Don't want to do that. How about just make the easy answer and answer that question all the time and get Sinlon. Stop wasting your valuable time dealing with your yard. Get Sinlon. The weeds, they're annoying. The dead spots, you're always trying to fight that. Stop doing these things that you don't want to do and get Sinlon in your life. Sinlon is here so you can get those weekends back. Sinlon all started with the Astrodome, as a matter of fact. Sinlon's the evolution story of the AstroTurf that we know near and dear to our heart because the Astrodome, we still see it all the time. Now, Sinlon, S-Y-N Lawn, wants to improve your lifestyle. Stop mowing, stop pulling weeds, stop throwing money into an ugly yard that you're embarrassed of people seeing. Sinlon artificial grass is the best on the market. You can do a bunch of different things. Maybe you have a pool and you're tired of that grass around the pool, whether the grass is getting into the pool or you're leaving the pool, having to walk on the grass, you're getting mud everywhere. That's annoying. Get Sinlon. Sinlon looks great next to pools. Pavers. You put these pavers on your Sinlon too, or the Sinlon works around the pavers. Great for a backyard. It makes it look beautiful. Sinlon also, they're going to put all your fear aside because Sinlon offers a lifetime warranty with products that are made in the USA. Quality is top shelf. The people are fantastic, fully insured, fully bonded. They have their own in-house crews. They don't contract anything out, which we know how annoying that can be. Sinlon's number one priority is making their customers happy. Free consultations, all of that. Get in touch with Sinlon now and get that perfect yard that you've been waiting for, whether it's the patio, kids' playground, your pets. Sinlon can do it all. Head to 975sinlon.com to learn more. Get that free consultation now, 975sinlon.com, to get started on that yard of your dreams. Sinlon, control the process from yarn to yard.
It's the Killer Bees, and I honestly have no idea what's happening next. Could it be the next great big food debate? The biggest Joel rant of all time? Jeremy trolling someone to the point of crying? Or just some actual bees making some honey? Well, let's find out. It's time for the Wheel of Bits.
Oh, my goodness, would you look at this. What an enormous spin.
Let's play Star Bench Cut.
What an enormous spin. Who's our lady?
Her name is Charlotte.
Charlotte's cadence for Start Bench Cut is not good.
You didn't like it, huh?
I don't feel like there's proper spacing.
I mean, if you want to coach Charlotte up, you're more than willing to take a try, but it's an AI,
wasn't
so I'm not
her,
sure how
her,
that'll go.
Wasn't her cadence jacked up?
I guess maybe I didn't hear it because I was making sure I had everything ready to go, so I'm not sure, but we'll find out in the next time we play it.
Yeah, it sounded jacked up to me. So she said start bench cut.
Start bench cut, yes.
Poorly spaced phrase there. All right, what do we start benching and cutting?
So, I mean, I'm sure everyone has seen it by now. I know, Jeremy, you definitely have. I assume, Joel, you have as well. But the Texans put out, like, a 15-minute video with, like, the journey to the jersey reveal, basically. So I wanted to have some fun, kind of, in a way, ranking the different uniforms that the Houston sports teams have. But start, bench, cut.
Did you watch the video?
I watched the whole thing.
I didn't want to.
I didn't either.
I didn't want to, but I did.
I did.
I did.
A lot of it was obviously very self-serving, as you would expect, but...
Yeah, I didn't want to watch it, but I felt like I had to in case, you know, I missed something. The I forget the guy's name that's running up the whole uniform.
Too.
That
he
guy's impressive, though. I like that guy.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of that guy.
Is that the guy you got the screen cap from or whatever?
Yeah, he was on it.
Yeah.
That guy's impressive. Here's one hot take from this. I guess it's not that hot. I really like, ever since Easterby, who the McNairs have hired to run things, whether it's Greg Grisham.
Grisham's still there. Yep.
I think he's good.
He is.
This uniform guy's good. He's got swag and drip that I wish I had. D'Amico's good. Casario's good. They've made good hires, and then they let them work. Like, that's all you can ask for from ownership.
Yeah. There's no doubt about it. And you know what? Compliment the people that were hired to coach up the owners.
Yeah, for
get sure. Hannah involved. Create a different image, not only for the franchise, but for the owners and everybody. It starts at the top and then all the way down. They've done a hell of a job completely doing everything over again.
All right. Yeah. All right. So there's our take from jerseys.
Honestly, though, my only takeaway from it was how often they talked about how many people they had involved in the process, like how many focus groups. It felt like it was a little overkill.
All the fans got their, like, glamour shots.
They were talking.
Did you participate in those?
No.
I participated in a survey. I was sending an email to participate.
I saw some media members in the video from time to time.
I wasn't brought on site, but I was sent an email a couple of years ago to participate. I think everybody was. I don't think that I'm unique.
I didn't get it.
I think it was like an open invitation. At least that's what I thought, where I gave them my input. But
I would have gone. I didn't get invited.
Well, no, it wasn't. I didn't get invited anywhere in person. This was an email. Can you fill out the survey? Oh. And we're going to take all of these and then form an opinion. I did participate in that.
I didn't get the survey.
So if you like the Texans jerseys, whenever they come out next week, you can all thank me. If you dislike them, well, you can thank Joel for not looking at the email. So there we go. We got that settled. All right, what do we start cutting and benching?
We'll do team by team here, assuming we want to take the time to do all three. Let's start Astros. So start, sit, cut these three uniform versions that the Astros have used. Their classic rainbow uniform from the 80s. I'm going to say brick red version of the uniforms they had in the aughts, the 2000s. Mm-hmm. And then their current uniforms.
Ooh.
Okay. Start, sit, cut.
I am going to start the Tequila Sunrise. I am going to sit the current uniforms, and I am going to cut the brick red.
Yeah, I'm 100% in agreement. The rainbows are the best they've ever had.
Oh, no question.
The ones they have now are fine. They're good. The brick
except
reds
for
are
the Space
awful.
City. I don't care for the
that's
Space
fine.
City.
Yeah, they're
it's like a softball
modern,
uniform.
I agree with that. The brick red were awful. There's no reason. I know the whole Union Station train theme, all of that. They were ugly. They should have had brick red.
Your name the Astros
uniform.
And your mascot was a rabbit.
It still is.
I'm glad you agree with me.
Well,
Yeah, I had friends actually like those uniforms. And they were like, let me tweak this a little bit. Just see if I can involve some debate here. We'll keep the rainbow. We'll keep the current. But let's say the Colt 45 uniforms instead as your third option.
Oh, 45s.
Well, no, start, sit, cut.
45s go where?
Rainbow, Colt 45, and current.
I still get rid of the Colt 45s.
Really?
Because it would never fly in today's day anyway.
Well, that's not what we're saying, though. Just your preference. You like the logo.
I like the logo now because it's the same logo that was even with the Tequila Sunrise. I like the variations of the uniforms now.
I don't like the bevel in the hat and the logo.
The bevel?
There's a bevel in the Astro logo currently. I'm not a big fan of the bevel.
I'm not. What does
it mean? It just kind of makes it. It makes it look like.
What do you mean the bevel? Explain
it makes
the bevel.
It look three dimensional.
Like, oh, the how the H pops off of it.
Like you see, like all the stuff around the H, and then even in the star, it's kind of like
the shading.
Yeah, I would rather it be flat. I like the bevel.
That doesn't bother me. I like that logo. I like the Tequila Sunrise logo, and the Colt 45s to me. What was the hat? Was the point the 45?
It was a gun. Yeah.
Yeah, it was the gun.
No, the logo on the hat was the 45 caliber.
Right.
Yeah.
Just the numbers 4 and 5.
On
the hat,
it just said 45.
Right.
It just said 45.
I think that those are good where they were left. It's cool to, like, wear the shirts and have the hats and stuff, but I don't think that I would want those as jerseys.
Yeah,
I would still cut that.
Yeah, I would, too.
Okay. All right. So would it change anything if I threw in the Shooting Star uniform?
I didn't love the Shooting Star.
It
was better than the brick red, but it's still third.
Yeah, I didn't mind it, but again, I like the other two with the options. And I think the Astros have always been synonymous with that orange and the other colors, but the orange being completely left out, I'm not on board with.
All right, let's move over to the Rockets. We got three options here. You got the kind of the classic jerseys that they wore during the championship series,
and
even before that, yeah, the ketchup and mustard. We'll say the 93-94 jerseys, and I feel like I know what's going to happen with this next one. But you have the pajama with the Rocket with the teeth, and then the current uniform. Start, sit, cut, those versions of the Rockets.
Another no-brainer for me. You start the ketchup and mustard. You sit the current uniform, and you completely obliterate and never to be seen again the pinstripe pajamas.
What would you say the Rocket looked like?
Well, there was two different versions of that. One had teeth and one didn't.
Yeah, what would you say it looked like?
A fighter plane? That's the politically correct answer?
No, I mean, I'm
an old-school fighter plane?
You and I are...
The face with teeth?
Some people think it looks like a certain something.
I understand that. That's why I'm not going there.
We're simpatico. Give me ketchup mustards over the currants. Currents are going to sit. I mean, the pinstripes
I'll say this.
Can go away.
The winner for the currants is the Dunkstronaut.
Dunkstronauts are awesome.
Love that.
The Dunkstronauts are really cool. Do you like the Yao Ming era jerseys?
No, because I know the behind it, and I know Les will never completely admit it. But he brought a Broadway costume designer in, and then they were all about Yao and designing him as close to the Chinese national uniforms. No one really liked him when we had to. He brought us in a room and said, "What do you think?" You couldn't come back. You couldn't say what you felt, and I just felt like that was too much.
Yeah, I was actually at an Astros game when they put up on the screen, like, "Hey, these are the new Rockets uniforms." The people booed.
They
the
booed?
They booed the crap out of them.
Hey, give me ketchup and mustard. The ones that they currently wear are fine. I don't like the black trim, though, on the red. I wish that was white. And I don't like the black uniforms.
Yeah. I like the black uniforms.
I'm not a big fan of the black uniforms. But the H-Town Dunkernaut.
The Dunkernaut is awesome.
That one's awesome.
What was the worst part of the pajama era? The uniforms or when they actually had all those graphics on the court? I think it was one season.
Oh, my goodness.
We had all the clouds
now,
and the and
Now,
the,
you
like,
do
the
realize that in the thought process behind that, those stars were supposed to glow in the dark, and they were supposed to drop the lights and intros, and the stars were supposed to glow, and they could never get it to work.
Oh, I didn't know that. No.
Yeah.
Wasn't the paint just the hardwood, and then everything outside of the paint was the navy blue?
The inside the three-point circle was all navy blue with stars.
And then the paint was just the paint. It was just the hardwood.
The lane was red. I think the lane was red.
I think
everything
inside
blue
the three-point line
was
painted.
Blue.
Was it
everything
really?
Inside the three-point line was blue, and I want to say that the lane was red.
And then they had the clouds and the
lines
along
the cloud explosion, the Stardust Field,
right.
And the rocket going through midcourt.
I don't remember the red paint. Actually, now I'm second-guessing myself, but it was the navy inside the three-point line.
Yeah, with stars.
I hate when courts do that.
I know.
Stars.
It's so
remember
much,
the Hornets did it with the honeycomb, and everybody started doing it.
Yeah. No, I think the court was definitely the worst part. All right, last one, Texans. And we're going to go outside of, like, their main uniform here, because their main uniform, I think, is kind of basic. Let's go with their alternates. Battle red, the all-Liberty whiteout, or the deep steel color rush jerseys that are the all-blue with the darker blue letters and the red outline for their numbers.
Okay. I'm going to go easy for me. The red is the number one. The
so
red
that's
is
your start?
The red is you start. The I'll go the red is the start, the blue is the sit, and the white is the throwaway.
Give me the all whites. I like the icy whites. That's starting for me. I love white on white jerseys. They're my favorite usually for every football team. So white on white, no doubt about that. I'll go the reds as my sit, and then I'm going to cut the blue on blue. I'm not usually a fan of same color on same color. I like red.
I thought
more
the
than
color
the
rush because they did the blue on blue before even they got to the color rush years later. But I do like the color rush blue on blue more than I did the original all deep steel blue uniforms.
White on white to me just gets to be too starchy.
Starchy?
Starchy. What
just
do you
too.
Mean?
You need
too
ketchup
plain.
On them?
Just too plain. I can put ketchup on just.
I love.
You know.
I love icy whites, man. They're sharp to me. I'm a big fan of it. All right. 713-780-ESP. What's our car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. What are you nominating for the car wreck of the day? It's Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
Let me see. You prick. Where's my money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
Keep it locked and loaded. It's 6 o'clock. Glenn Davis, Soccer Matters coming up. We'll be talking about the Premier League title race. Take a look at the table. Houston Dynamo playing well, playing real well. Win streak going on, and a first ever Bundesliga champion. all the things they'll be talking about on Soccer Matters. Brian, you might be our first Car Wreck of the Day nominee.
Oh, really? What did I do?
Spencer Arrighetti's pitching today.
Spencer,
we missed an opportunity for Spencer Arrighetti.
We got the Godfather music there.
We didn't play it the first time because we were thinking about what we were going to name it.
We tried out songs.
We didn't play it as his song. It was his song. Like, okay, no. That sounds good. He got shelled. Didn't play it today. I feel great about Arrighetti.
Well, if he gets shelled again, we might not get another opportunity to play it for a while.
I know. We can play it in their build up for the Space Cowboy games on 92.5.
There you go.
We have our new easy over. Long live Jake Odorizzi. Blankers had to go pick up the girls, so he'll be gone in the next couple minutes. All right, what are you nominating for Car Wreck of the Day?
I'm taking a shot here, and you brought it up earlier. I'm going to nominate the Cougars' bullpen.
From a vantage point. A 3-2. Hit high and deep down the left field line. Will this stay fair? You bet it does! Back-to-back checks. And from down 3 to start the ninth, Texas leads 9-8.
It's well played. If you would have got my call, it would have been even better. It's a good troll. I admire the troll. I'm mad at you, but I admire the troll. If you would have gotten my call out of it.
You're right. That would have upped it to a better level.
Oh, man. Yeah. I think. What was the count? What did he say it was?
I didn't hear it.
I think I was like the 2-1, gone.
And then was that silence. The call?
Yeah. It wasn't a very. It would have been funny, though, for what you just did. I'm nominating Brian and Blankers for not being competitive in the Masters draft.
Why do you care? I got to buy you a drink next time we're on remote together.
Well, I care because I win. This is the final score of the Masters draft, by the way.
I already said it.
I was 20 under. Did you say the scores?
Yeah, I said it.
You said I was 20 under?
Uh-huh.
How many under?
You were 20 under.
20. Scottie Scheffler, Ludwig Åberg, and Bryson DeChambeau carry me to victory. Blankers was in second place, so Blankers gets off scot-free. He's fine here. He was minus 5. And then, Brian, you were 5 over par.
You know what's funny, and I said this in our group text, if you just took our top two golfers for me and Blankers as you hit yourself in the mouth with the microphone, we were only one shot apart. Problem is, 3 of my golfers missed the cut, so I had to take John Rahm as my third, and he was plus 9 and killed me.
Defending Masters champion.
Yeah,
John Rahm. Yeah, I Tiger Woods'd you guys.
Yeah,
I was 97 Tiger Woods, lapping the field.
Sure.
Complete dominance. I will be awaiting my fitted green jacket / my drink at the next remote.
Could have been Wednesday, but you're going to be on remote.
Yeah, I had another Blankers one here, but he's not here to defend himself. So I'll save that for later. Do you have another one?
Yeah, I don't know if you saw the news. Deion Sanders is apparently named the only 6 teams that he'll allow one of his kids or Travis Hunter to play out. So apparently he's already telling the NFL his kids and Travis Hunter will only play for the Eagles, Niners, Cowboys, Ravens, Falcons, and Commanders. I don't think, ironically, a lot of those teams are teams he played for.
So weird.
Yeah, but he's apparently telling the NFL if you want, you know, his kid, Shedeur Sanders, or you want Travis Hunter, you better be one of those 6 teams or they're not going to.
Yeah, this was weird from Deion. That he did this, like, I don't know what kind of control he thinks he has.
It seems like it hurts their financials, right? If you're limiting the market,
maybe with the quarterback, you can get it done. What's the fascination with the Commanders?
I don't know. Like, did he actually see? Like, I know he played for the Niners, Cowboys, Ravens, and Falcons. I don't think he didn't play for they weren't the Commanders then, but he didn't play for Washington, did he?
I don't think that he did.
I don't know why he would want Washington.
Yeah,
I don't get that one.
Maybe he knows someone there. Maybe someone in ownership.
Yeah, maybe he played for one of the coaches there.
I'm going to nominate Boban. Boban was point shaving yesterday, and everybody thinks it's funny. Like, Boban is shaving points in an NBA basketball game. Everybody's laughing and giggling about it. He's point shaving.
He's trying to get the people free chicken.
That's point shaving. He intentionally missed a free throw with 440. There was 444 left in the game. I thought when I originally saw
that
there was like 4 seconds left.
Yeah, because I didn't watch the game. I just saw the clip online. It's like, there must have been like 30 seconds left. And then I looked at it. I was like, oh, wait, there's 450 left.
There's 444 to play, and he's point shaving. And everybody's laughing.
And they weren't even up 30. They were, 8 or 9, I think, at the time?
Yeah, unbelievable. You know what else, too, is if you look at the opening total, it was 221 points, something like that, and it landed at 221.
Wow.
So he makes it would have been an easy over. Now, the line moved a little bit after the opening, but Boban's point shaving, we all think it's funny. All right, what's winning?
You know what? I'm gonna go with my Masters picks. My Masters picks were horrible.
I'm going to go with both of y'all's Masters picks.
Yeah, they were horrible. Well, at least Blankers was still under.
I mean, y'all combined to finish even par.
Yeah. I've really weighted this down,
20
though.
Under. So, Brian's Master Picks, Car Wreck of the Day. Congratulations, Brian, for winning that. All right, does it for us. Thanks to Brian for the hard work. He was blank. I'm Branham. Glenn Davis, Soccer Matters, up next.